At Easter, we celebrate an event that happened 2,000 years ago, but we also look forward to the future. Here's Barbara Rainey.
Not only is Easter the story of how Christ purchased our freedom in Him, how He accomplished our salvation on the cross, but Easter is also foretelling what we will experience one day in heaven.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth, author of The Wonder of His Name, for March 7th, 2018.
Well, if you've popped in the middle of this conversation with Barbara Rainey over the last couple of days, you may have wondered, do they know what month it is? They're at Revive Our Hearts. They're talking about Easter, and it's only March. Well, we're doing that because we want to help you plan ahead and prepare to make a really big deal out of Passion Week, Good Friday, and Resurrection Day just about a month from now. So it's a joy to welcome you again, Barbara Rainey, to Revive Our Hearts. Thanks so much for your work on this subject and for helping our listeners to better understand the significance of that first Easter.
Well, thanks. It's a delight to be here and talk about my favorite subject. So thanks for having me.
And you've made me more excited about it. I took time this morning to read through and do just a little meditation on these 8 cards you've developed. It's a set of cards that we're making available to our listeners this week. And that's why we're airing this ahead of Easter, so they can have this ready. You can read one a day in the days leading up to Easter, starting with Palm Sunday through Easter Sunday. Or you can pull these all out on Resurrection Day and read them at your family lunch. There are other ideas Barbara has developed that are available. If you'll go to ReviveOurHearts.com and click on the link to her website, Ever Thine Home, you see lots of ideas, resources, tools, ways that you can help yourself and your family celebrate not just Easter, but other holidays and seasons as well. I love making our homes a place that tell the gospel story, and you've given us a lot of helpful ways to do that.
Well, thanks. That's my goal. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 talks about how we, as adults, need to be talking about our faith with our children or with other children. But he says, talk about it as you walk along the way, when you lay down and when you rise up. And importantly, it says at the end of those verses, and put my words on your doorposts and on your gates. And when I read that recently and understood that, I thought that means that I need to be able to have something that tells about my faith that's on my front door or that's on my gate or on a wall in a house if it's not appropriate to be outside in weather. But I want things in my house that say, here in this structure lives a family who follows Jesus. Because I think that's what Deuteronomy 6 is all about. It's transferring our faith to first our children, but then to others as well.
And starting with reminding ourselves of things we forget so easily.
That's right.
And then once we're in awe of this, as we're worshiping the Lamb, as we're worshiping Christ, whether it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, different times of the year, you've got all different resources. As we do that ourselves, then we can visualize that for our children, our grandchildren, guests who come into our home, neighbors who stop by, people who deliver mail, whatever. The UPS and FedEx guys know right where my home is because they're making deliveries there a lot. And how wonderful for them to be able to see that the people who live at this house, Robert and Nancy Wagglemuth, who get all these packages, that this is what they believe. We're witnessing to our love for Christ. So you've developed these tools for all different times of the year, but we're focusing in this short series on celebrating Easter, Passion Week, Good Friday, Good Friday.
Yes.
The sacrifice of Christ, the precious, spotless Lamb of God for the sin of the world. And then he didn't stay dead. He rose again from the dead. And you see that resurrection theme all through the New Testament. It's so, so important to our faith. And we want to help ourselves and others around us get appropriately excited about what that means. So this set of cards we've been talking about this week helps us to do that. They're beautifully illustrated with some classical line drawings that, and children need pictures. We need pictures. We need stories and pictures of these symbols. And these cards help give us that.
Yeah, I agree. I love beautiful visual things anyway. I've always loved art. And when I saw these drawings in an old book, I just I admire that someone can do this, this kind of artwork, but I just loved them and got permission to print these amazing drawings on the fronts of these cards so that when you read these around your table on Resurrection Day or you read them personally for your devotions during Holy Week, you not only have a nice story to read, but you've got something beautiful to look at. And this one that I'm holding shows Jesus standing before Pilate, and his head is down, and Pilate sitting in his chair, and behind Jesus are all these arms reaching out, and they're pointing their fingers at him, accusing him. You don't see faces, you just see all these arms. They look almost like swords pointing at him. And so even just seeing the visual of what that must have been like, I think is wonderful for our hearts, and it helped, even just the visual helps bring us to worship.
And will help children remember the story that we don't want them to ever forget.
That's exactly right.
I want those kids, when they grow up, they leave home, they go off to college, they go into secular marketplace. We want them to have just inscribed indelibly in their hearts, in their memory's eye, the pictures, the story of who Jesus is, why he came. So they will never, ever doubt that this is real. This is true.
Agreed.
And this is so important. This is essential. This is not an add-on to our faith. This is the bedrock of our faith, and you're helping us to remember that. So we're making this set of cards available to any listener this week who makes a donation of any amount to support the work, the ministry of Revive Our Hearts, and we'll send you this set of cards with these descriptions that we're talking about yesterday and today. We'll send that as our way of saying thank you for supporting this ministry and for helping us call women to freedom and fullness and fruitfulness in Christ. So we talked about the first four of those cards yesterday. And today I'd love for you to walk us through the last four. They center around the miracles of Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And I've noticed in teaching on these miracles in the past that they're not as familiar to a lot of people. We don't talk about them as much. They're just mentioned a little bit in the scripture, but they're really significant. And if you'd been there in that day, you would have not been able to escape these miracles. And so the first one of those Good Friday miracles has to do with what you call the torn tapestry, the veil that separated the holiest place from the rest of the temple and surroundings. Talk about how important that was.
Well, I just imagine that scene, because that veil was not on. I mean, we think of a veil like a bridal veil that you can see through. This was a veil. It was a curtain, and it was very, very thick. And from things I've read, it says it could have been several inches thick, and it was maybe 30 feet high. It was huge. It was enormous. It was really like a wall.
So not something that you can just easily tear.
No.
And certainly not from top to bottom.
Correct. It was like a fabric wall, essentially, hanging there. And when you think about the temple, only one person was allowed to go behind that curtain, and only one time a year. So here on Passover Day, you've got priests all over the place. They're killing these sacrificial lambs. They're all busy about their work. Nobody's paying any attention to anything other than we got to get our work done. We have to be finished by sundown. And they're doing their work.
And you wonder if it was maybe just somehow wrote to them.
I don't know. I'm sure it was wrote to them.
We just do this all the time.
Things become wrote to us.
It
wouldn't be unusual if it was just, let's get this over with so we can be done for the day, kind of a thinking. And so what happened? So this, as we mentioned yesterday, these sacrifices of the lambs were taking place all day as Jesus hung on the cross. And we talked yesterday briefly about how when Jesus breathed his last at 3 o'clock, the soldier stuck a spear into his side and out came blood and water. And in the temple, there was blood everywhere. And they cleaned that blood up by washing it with water, which perfectly mirrored what was happening with Jesus. But at that exact same moment, another miracle occurred. And that is that there were invisible hands that took a hold of that tapestry wall at the top and ripped it in half.
And of course, we know those hands were none others than the hands of God, the only person powerful enough to do this.
Exactly. And I just started thinking, what must that have been like for those priests? They were so busy. They weren't expecting to be interrupted. And to see that tapestry being torn from top to bottom, just think about the sound of it. If you have a piece of fabric, you might want to do this with your family. Fabric can be torn. If you can buy a cheap piece of muslin fabric, 100% cotton, somewhere, and just have it for your Easter feast. Snip the end of it and rip it. When fabric is ripped, it makes a really loud sound, and that's a very thin piece of fabric. Imagine the sound of this giant tapestry being torn from top to bottom. It was probably a thunderous sound. And think about those priests. They had no idea what was behind that curtain. They'd been told.
And they knew if they went behind it, they would die.
That's right.
Because that's where the glory of God was housed.
And so I just imagine that all of them were slack-jawed, their arms at their sides. They were staring into that space just dumbfounded because nobody ever thought that would happen. They didn't know why it happened. And then probably after they started thinking about it for a couple of minutes, they were thinking, what do we do? Do we quick sew this thing back together and hang it back up? I mean, I think they were probably panicked, afraid, shocked that they weren't killed because they actually laid eyes on it. And yet what it symbolized, I don't know that they saw. It symbolized the broken body of Jesus that now, for us, opened the way into the Holy of Holies, into a relationship with God Almighty.
Sinners could go into the presence of a holy God.
Forever.
Yeah.
And the symbolic ripping of that curtain signaled the end to the sacrifices and the old covenant and the old way of approaching God, and it opened the door and ushered in the new.
Yeah.
And that phrase has always been one of my favorites in the New Testament when it said the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. I mean, just a few words. But when I started studying what that meant and what that must have been like for the Jewish priests and those who saw it happen, it just added so much more meaning to what Christ accomplished for us. He opened the door so that we could have a relationship with God the Father without fear of death. I mean, all the priests were just, they knew they would die, and they would have if they had walked in there. But we don't have to think about that. We don't have to worry about that. In fact, Hebrews even says we can boldly approach the throne of grace. And that's a concept that they couldn't understand, that Jesus ushered in for us, free access to God the Father Almighty.
And this is something we don't ever want to take for granted, though we tend to. And this is something that we want our children and their children to experience the wonder of, which is why not just at Easter, but particularly at Easter. Mm-hmm. It's a great time to rehearse this story, to rehearse what it might have been like for those who experienced that day. And there was not only that amazing miracle of the curtain being torn in two, but there were two other accompanying miracles about the same time. One was a great earthquake that took place. And people might have thought this was just coincidence, but it was no coincidence.
No, it wasn't, because it was a signal from God that this is an important event. And I think it's almost like God was taking the earth and shaking it and saying, pay attention.
Yeah.
Something's happening.
Yes.
Something momentous is happening, and I've got to get your attention, because if I don't, you're not going to notice. And so the earth shook, and people were terrified, as people always are in an earthquake. I don't know. Have you ever been in an earthquake, Nancy?
Just a tremor, actually, on our honeymoon.
Oh, seriously?
Seriously.
Oh, I didn't know that little story.
But there were no buildings that fell.
Well, Dennis and I were in one time, and it was not much more than a tremor, but it was enough to wake us up. The chandelier in this place we were staying, it was not our home. We were in Southern California. It was swinging to and fro, and our kids were little, and they were laying on the floor sleeping because we didn't have enough beds. And we were thinking, should we wake them up and move them? Is the chandelier going to fall? I mean, it was jarring, and it got our attention. And so I know that's what happened that day when God shook the earth.
Yes.
All the people that were watching either Jesus on the cross or the people who were in the temple with the sacrifices or people who were oblivious.
You can't be oblivious anymore.
No. Everyone was put on notice. Something significant is happening.
And then that earthquake resulted in tombs being opened where people had been buried for who knows how long. Mm-hmm. And that was another miracle associated with Good Friday that you feature on one of these eight Easter cards.
Well, I think it's a very significant event, too, and it prefaces for us that one day we too will rise from the dead. And so when these tombs were opened, it signaled again to those who had eyes to see that this is what Jesus came to do for us. And we all know that death is so final, as did the disciples, as did everyone who was around that day. So the earth is shaking, and then all of a sudden, in their despair and in their discouragement, they discover that there were some tombs that were opening. And the earthquake obviously jolted them so that the lids came off, but it was intentional. And the people who were believers in Christ, the ones who had believed that Jesus was the Son of God, they were the ones who came alive. And it was a signal to those who had eyes to see and those who understood that Jesus inaugurated a resurrection. And there had been disciples who had seen him raise two people from the dead. He raised Lazarus and he raised the daughter.
Right.
But, you know, it would be easy, I think, to be skeptical and say, yeah, that must have been a fluke. Maybe they weren't really dead. But people who are in a tomb sealed with a lid on it. If you've seen the tombs in Jerusalem, they're boxes with lids on them.
So now your loved one that you've buried is walking around in the city of Jerusalem.
Exactly. And so how can you explain that away?
Yeah.
For those who were watching, God was sending a message loud and clear that Jesus had defeated death and that resurrection was possible and that it was real and that God was going to resurrect many more.
So not only would Jesus be raised from the dead on that first day of the week, but that we too who are in Christ will one day be raised from the dead. And so
That's right.
Is our hope. Not just that he died, and not just that he was raised, but that he will raise us with him too.
Yeah, and it says in the New Testament, Paul talks about how Jesus was the first fruits from the dead. And so Jesus was the first. He inaugurated this by his life and by his death. And it's the first of many harvests for God. So that was the first harvest. It was a small one that year. But there will be another harvest, a great and grand harvest, when God raises all of those believers from centuries gone by who have believed in Christ. And even those who have died recently, and hopefully for us, we will meet him face to face in the air. But there is a great harvest coming, and that was just an introduction to what God will do someday when he raises all of those who have placed their faith in Christ to live with him forevermore.
And these may be things you haven't thought about in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And these are things your children may never have thought about. So we're telling the story, and not just once, but year after year. And these Easter cards give you a way of doing that. It doesn't tell all the details of the story, but some of the really important and special details that we need to be reminded of. Just having this conversation today is meaningful for me. It invigorates my own faith and my own assurance about what Christ has done for us, my own worship and awe. And you want that for your own heart, but also for your family, for your friends. And that's why we want you to have this set of Easter cards that Barbara Rainey has developed to help you tell that story. Now, you've saved the best card for last.
For last.
Number
That's
eight,
right.
The ultimate miracle of Passion Week and Resurrection Sunday is the resurrection itself.
And it is. It's the pinnacle. It's the final moment of all that God was doing. He's been writing this grand and glorious story since the garden. He has been working the redemption tale since Adam and Eve for us. And the pinnacle of that story, the climax of that story, the ultimate high point of that story is the resurrection. Because the disciples all thought it was over.
Yeah.
They were standing there watching, thinking, this is not what we had in mind. This is not what we believed. We believed he was going to deliver us now on earth. We believed he was going to take care of us. And he's gone and gotten himself killed.
Yeah, right.
And killed as a criminal. And, you know, we know the story. They ran, they hid, they disowned him. He died alone. And yet now God is saying, yes, he died alone, but that was by my design. That was by my plan. All of these miracles, all of these tiny little details were a part of the grand script, the story that God was writing. And now on Resurrection Sunday, he says, this is it. This is the final picture that I want you to see.
And that resurrection was tied in, as were these other details, to symbols and festivals mm-hmm. and feasts that the believing Jews were already familiar with.
That's right.
They celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the day when Christ went to the cross. Mm-hmm. They celebrated then the Feast of First Fruits. Talk about how that ties together.
So for the Jewish people, Passover was a combination of three feasts. One way I like to think of it is at Christmas, we celebrate Christmas Eve, Christmas, and then New Year's. We sort of celebrate them all as a unit. And for the Jewish people, those three feasts, Passover, Unleavened Bread, and First Fruits, were all celebrated together sort of as a unit. The third feast was First Fruits, and that was when Jesus rose from the dead. And so God was saying when he raised Jesus from the tomb and Jesus came out alive, he was saying, this is the first fruit of the harvest that is coming. Jesus is inaugurating a harvest of souls for the Father by his resurrection. He was showing us that he is going to bring many with him into the kingdom. And Jesus was the first one to do that and thereby open the door for us to follow.
And in that sense, what we celebrate this coming Easter and every Resurrection Sunday is just a foretaste of something that still lies ahead.
And that, to me, is a part of what makes Easter such an amazing holiday to celebrate, because we know it's about the cross. We know it's about his death. We know it's about his resurrection. But I think we've totally lost sight of the fact that it is a picture of what will be someday. Easter is all about the marriage of the Lamb. It's all about someday when we are united with Jesus in heaven with the Father, and we have a feast like none other, and we will be united with him forever.
Yeah.
And so not only is Easter the story of how Christ purchased our freedom in him, how he accomplished our salvation on the cross, but Easter is also foretelling what we will experience one day in heaven. Because he didn't just save us to live on this earth. He saved us for himself. It talks in the New Testament about how he has purchased a people for his own possession. And when we believe in Christ, we become a part of that people. We become a part of his family. And one day, we will all be united. So Jesus, by his resurrection, showed us what our future looks like. One day we too will be raised. One day we too will ascend into heaven like him. We will follow him, and we will all celebrate our oneness, our unity together with a feast, much like the feast of the Passover. And we will celebrate that together in heaven and be forever with Christ in the heavenlies.
And my heart is saying, hallelujah, what a Savior.
Amen.
And that's what we celebrate this coming Easter. It's what we celebrate every day mm-hmm. of our Christian faith. But my prayer and hope, and I know yours as well, Barbara, is that this coming Passion Week, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday, each of our listeners will celebrate this holy season, this holy day, with new joy and fervor, saying, hallelujah, what a Savior.
That's Nancy DeMoss-Wagglemuth talking with Barbara Rainey about the hope we celebrate at Easter. Not just hope for our salvation now, but our hope forever. I hope you'll take up Nancy and Barbara's challenge to really celebrate this Easter season in a meaningful way. One way we'd like to help you is by sending a set of 8 cards Barbara helped make. On one side of each card, you'll read portions of the Easter story. You can read these to your family or friends while celebrating the resurrection. On the flip side, you'll see classic illustrations from a vintage Easter book Barbara and the team found. We'd like to send you this tool to help share the Easter story as our thank you when you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts. Your gift will help us continue spreading the good news of the hope we have in Jesus. Make your donation online at reviveourhearts.com. That's reviveourhearts.com. Or donate by phone and ask for the set of cards. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walkelmuth loves to tell the story of Jesus. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.